Have you subscribed to the OTB Football Podcast?
And in fact, the bloke who man-marked Graham's your neck got a broken jaw. Ross Graham, shouldn't laugh.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.
GAA on Off The Ball.
Now then, you're very welcome back. So delighted to say we are joined by Eddie Brennan, former Laois manager, involved with Coola at the moment as well, and just the eight All-Irelands as a player in his back pocket with Kilkenny. Eddie, how you doing?
Not too bad, no Joe. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Want to pick your brain on a few things. There's lots of rumination at the moment in hurling and giving out, and the game's not quite where we wanted to be. So I'm really curious to get your thoughts on various things. I've got three things jotted down. Art of defending, the slitter, and maybe the boss of the hurl as well. And then thirdly, the freeze situation. So let's start with the art of defending here, because I saw yourself and Jackie, like two owl lads, given out here on Twitter. Oh my God, back in my day, wasn't far off this. But no, I'm only joking with you. So Jackie Terrell looking at the game in Salt Hill and was bemoaning the scoring. And I think you said the art of defending gone, it's dead. This was Galway-Waterford. I think there was a total of 751 scored. So what were you seeing here? And was it just this game you two were talking about? Or do you think it's a trend in the game generally that the art of defending is in decline a touch?
Yeah, it probably is. And there's a lot of factors at play, Joe. I suppose the golden oldies are bemoaning, you know, I suppose you're right in that. And we all, I suppose, have a little gripe and a whinge at times. And don't get me wrong, it's brilliant to see high-scoring matches. It's brilliant to see that. But I suppose the context on this is that it's league with no consequences whatsoever, really, in the broader scheme of things. It's prep for championships. So I suppose in some regards, while teams are pushing and they're trying to try different combinations and they're giving players a bit of game time, they're also acutely aware that championship is coming very close down the line. So I suppose, is there a real cut in trust, and do lads really want to, I suppose, risk picking up maybe a red card now at this stage, or stuff like that? I suppose that's there, the considerations. But definitely, in terms of, you know, out and out good defending, I think there's a level of nervousness definitely there from a lot of players. And I suppose maybe the quick example I'm going to use, because you obviously need to have your facts when you're making these observations, but I felt there was very, very little, if any, contact whatsoever in Neil McManus's attempted tackle that resulted in him getting a second yellow. I don't think even the Wexford player even stopped playing. He stayed going. He tried to kind of flick in and came back out very quickly, and it resulted in a second yellow. And I suppose I, you know, at the time you go, if that type of tackle is going to be categorised as a yellow card, we're going to see a lot of lads picking up yellow cards. And again, the context in this is, look, maybe sometimes there can be a level of maybe subconscious bias when we say things, and suddenly it plants seeds in referees' heads. And I think maybe there's a lot of things at play here. Maybe it's the oversight. Maybe it's the instructions that refs are getting to. And I don't think it's fair. You know, I suppose I have been critical sometimes of refs, and I think that's not fair either, because we all want to find a kind of a workable solution and something that works right. And the question is, you know, are the standards of refereeing, they always tend to kind of dilute a tiny bit when it comes to championship. And again, another example I use, you know, Seamus Flanagan and Conor Gleeson kind of were at it in that first match. I don't think there's anything wrong with what both of them were doing. Mm-hmm. And I think Seamus Flanagan paid a price for what for me amounts to nothing more than a clip. And that's all it is. And yet, by the letter of the law, it is a strike is a strike is a strike. But at the end of the day, I think there's an acceptable level of combat. And I mean that in obviously the best sense.
Yeah.
That there's two bulls going at it, button heads, championship hurling. There's no blinking here. And I think that's what we want to see. Obviously, if that becomes stupid, if that becomes ridiculous and lads are ploughing the heads off each other, then referees definitely have to intervene, and players have to be responsible for that too.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I suspect a lot of people will be nodding along with you completely, by the way. I was listening, I don't know, did you catch the pre-game for Limerick Cork and RTE? Donal Cusack was on with Shane Dowling, and Donal Cusack was making the point that he thinks referees, for the first time in a while actually, and let's leave McManus and the Flanagan, Gleeson one aside, because he was talking more generally, but he was saying what he thinks is going on at the moment, and this isn't about the advantage rule either, But he was saying he thinks for the first time in a long time, the referees are now back refereeing the game according to the rules as they are written down. And he was saying maybe even like as long ago as the early 2000s, things got a bit out of hand and you're allowed to do things that you shouldn't actually be allowed to do. And he thinks referees are on top of it now. He was even wondering when the crowds come back, when, you know, are referees going to stick with it when the crowds are moaning, kind of saying, oh, geez, would you let the thing flow, referee? And he was actually worried that the refs will kind of wilt under that pressure. But what about his original point, whatever about what happens with the crowds, his original point that a lot of things happen in hurling which actually are against the rules and they haven't been reffed for a very long time, and what we're seeing at the moment is almost a recalibration. And he was happy to see it. He thought this was a good thing. Shane Dowling wasn't so sure.
Yeah, I was amused when I heard Don Logue making the point, because he clearly lived a little bit of a sheltered existence, because he didn't have to mark The Rock, or he didn't have to mark Wayne Sherlock or some of them boys. And I mean that in the best sense.
I know you do.
I take his point. But I think, you know, in terms of what he was specifically referring to, I think is this third hand. And I think, yeah, it's finding the balance on that, because I think there's a level of cat and mouse that sometimes goes on when you're marking a guy. If he can get the, you know, the check on you in time, or that, you know, and Dermot O'Sullivan for me is a player I have huge respect for. I you know, I marked him a few times, and the challenge was, you know, he was using a little bit of roguery. And I love that. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's a difference if someone is dragging the jersey or they're deliberately, you know, impeding somebody. They're not trying to play the game. I think that's obviously what we're after here. But in relation to his points, just on the recalibration of it, yeah, I think what we have to be careful of, I suppose, in some regards, is that we don't put too much pressure on our referees by giving them specific instructions. I think a referee, in an ideal sense, should be trusted to go and referee the match under their knowledge of the rules and be utterly objective and facilitate a good match. But obviously, you know, there's obviously the cat and mouse, as I talk about sometimes, and it's understanding that they say, look, if a lad is deliberately fouling, you know, a good player, or they're doing something that's illegal, then trust the referees to pick up on that, and I think, you know, support them as best we can. But I think, you know, the cut and thrust of it, I think unless something is really, you know, blatant, I think what you don't want to ever see though is that referees are kind of guessing, oh well, they see a helmet coming off somebody, well, it must have been, you know, somebody had to have done something. Unless you're specifically seeing a helmet being tore off somebody, then you have to act. And in fairness to the refs, I think they will make that point that unless they see something, they can't act. And I had that with one of the top referees in a challenge match with Leash, where, you know, we questioned an issue and he said, I can only call it on what I've seen, and I respect that completely.
Yeah. I'll come to the advantage rule in a second, but leaving that aside for another moment, are you seeing too many soft frees?
Yeah, I was watching the Kilkenny and Leash match, and I think there's definitely an element of guys, you know, playing for that free, or buying the free is the dreaded term that we use in soccer. But I think, look, sometimes
and
it's
by
a case
that,
of...
By that, do you mean, so like, I would take simulation and diving as like, there's no contact, and like Robert Perez style, I've just thrown myself to the ground. Whereas when you say buying a free, do you mean like there actually is a little bit of contact and then they're making the most of it, reacting to that contact? Or what are you seeing?
Yeah, there's a couple of examples. And I suppose, Joe, I'm very mindful of what I say here, and people turn around quickly. And I'm not trying to highlight individual teams or players, and I'm just going to throw in a few examples. Like, okay. I think what you're looking at is, when you think of, I use that example of guys dipping low into a tackle and they grab a hurl. And I've seen, you know, Kevin Foley is good at that, where he grabs the hurl and kind of, you know, chugs himself to the ground. I think that's not really, Dan McCormack is good at it as well. And I think even, I suppose one example that I felt was harsh on the likes of Cathal Barrett last year. Cathal Barrett was competing for the ball in that quarter final, and, you know, he flicked in. And he might have, you know, clipped off the helmet of his marker, which was a Galway player. And the Galway player went to ground straight away, and the free was blown, and Cathal Barrett got his second yellow and got his marching orders. So we fast forward to this year in the league, and a similar scenario develops with Patrick Horgan and Cathal Barrett, and Cathal Barrett pulls out a tackle completely. So he's mindful of, if I get that just marginally wrong, I could walk here. And I think, you know, the purpose of your helmet is to protect you. And if you get a little bit of contact, tips and taps when you're going for high ball, I think that's acceptable. I accept that if I put my hand up for the ball and I don't protect it, I can expect to get a clip or two, because guys are competing for the ball. So And I go back to the Kilkenny and Laois match. You know, I saw one or two frees in that. Definitely not frees. I think guys are sometimes falling, coming out of a tackle. They're losing possession. And they're not really looking for it either, but they're getting a free for it, even though they've lost possession of the ball. And I think that's something that you'd be saying is just a tiny bit worrying. And also, I think our players being coached to an element to say, look, if you can win a free, so be it. Win, you know, win that free, make a defender. And I accept that. That's part of the game to a point.
Yeah.
But I think when you have lads, you know, I think they're codding refs a little bit, you know. And I suppose if I'm playing, I'll try to do that as well.
Mm. That's the thing. And so the Carl Barrett example where he learns his lesson and then doesn't go near Patrick Horgan, you don't see that as a good thing for the game ultimately, do you? You want to see Carl Barrett make that challenge and take that chance as opposed to being too afraid to go in there.
Yeah, I think we're talking milliseconds here, and that's the fine art that we're talking about here of training. That, well, if you you don't get it right, then you run the risk. And I think that's obviously what you want to put in guys' heads, no matter what end of the pitch they're playing at. If you're reckless and you mistime a tackle or you just lunge in, well, you're now rolling the dice. But I certainly think it can't be a scenario where they're afraid to compete. I would expect, looking to cut and trust the championship. I put it another way. If I'm Liam Sheedy and I see Carl Barrett not competing for that ball, I'm going, well, why have I you cornerback on Patrick Horgan? I need you getting that ball and preventing him from getting possession of it. So there's two sides to it in a way. But obviously, we want... I think if players are making genuine attempts and they're in... probably is the big issue for referees is to differentiate when a guy is making a genuine attempt or they're just being reckless or foolish.
Yes.
And that's hard with the speed that the game is played at.
Yeah. And so just to clarify then, would I be wrong if someone is seeing a headline in this piece then to get your sense of things, because it's important to kind of clarify. Do you think now hurling has a problem with diving? Is it that serious?
I don't think it's at that level just yet, but I agree. I think John Kiely, you know, got maybe a little bit ostracised for the sentiments of what he was trying to convey, and I agreed with him. I suppose when you maybe identify an opposition team, then maybe that's, and I think John rightly rectified that situation, and I have huge respect for him for what he said. But I do believe if he's coming out and saying it, he's a guy with, you know, massive knowledge of the game. He's working at the coalface. I think it's something that we need to be wary of, because I think if it starts, you know, if it does become, if we don't kind of keep an eye on it now or keep tabs on it now, it may develop. And I'd be just very, very conscious that it does escalate. I think there is an element of it going on where lads will go in, they see this, oh God, I'm running out of steps here, I'm going to lose possession.
Yeah.
So if I make contact here and I go to ground, there's a chance, let it roar, I might get a free.
Yeah, it becomes culturally acceptable. And then finally, because I do want to talk to you about the slitter, and it ties in with the free situation. On the advantage rule, everyone seems to kind of hate it. Has that calmed down a bit? Are referees over the weekend, were they letting the advantage go a little bit more, or were they still pinging?
I'm not so sure. I think they're probably getting their heads around it a little bit more. It came in, you know, all of a sudden at the start of the league, so they were probably apprehensive, which you say, fair enough. But I think they will quickly get to the speed of that. I think the one thing that you want to do is, look, if somebody does break free and they are bearing down on goal, well, let it develop. What's wrong with letting it develop? And if it doesn't work, well, you can always bring it back, you know?
Yeah. So look, the free situation, in different games, there are different problems. So for instance, in that Galway Waterford game, there was, to be exact, there were 751 scored and only 10 points. Only 10 points came from frees. So actually, that was more about defending. Maybe there was a challenge game aspect to that. So 751 scored there and only 10 of them were from frees. And yet, exactly the same weekend, Dublin against Clare, the brilliant Tony Kelly is walking away with 20 points, but 15 of them are frees. So in certain games, we're seeing a load of frees, other games, not so much. Like, we've talked about the frees being given. The slitter has come into the equation now, as in, we don't want a situation, and it's happened a lot already, where the game becomes a game where there are a lot of frees, and you've got the corner forward who's the free taker jogging back 60, 70 metres every time to take a free, and it's stop start, and there's, you know, every part of the field basically a free is a point scoring opportunity, and people are getting fed up with it. This has been put down to the slitter in the main, and I guess the skill sets of the players as well. I'm going to play a clip. James Scowell, former Galway goalkeeper on OTB AM this morning, and everyone's talking about the lightness of the slitter. You know, it's too light, and well, he had things to say about that. Have a listen.
I think GAA people are a small bit guilty of trying to use, you know, use their theories to prove a fact, whereas I like to use a fact to prove my theory. I'd say. So I'm looking at the weight of a slitter, and you know, it's a hot topic, and everyone says make the slitter heavier. But a good story for you, let's say, 2005, Galway played Cork in the Ireland senior final. We played Limerick in the minor final beforehand. After we're doing the compulsory lap of honour with the cup, the Cork mentors had set up their pre-warm-up drills, and of course me being the and with me, and I just happened to come across them during the week there, the O'Neill's balls with high rims. So I decided I'd weigh the balls. I took out the porridge scale anyways, and I weighed the ball from 2005, 16 years ago, and it was 112 grams, excuse me. And I weighed a new ball, the All-Star Commons ball, the yellow one that we have, that was 111 grams. So the ball from 16 years previous was one gram heavier, or lighter, should I say, excuse me. But the major difference in the ball was the rim thickness. Now, the only sport that I can think of where no rims makes a huge difference is baseball. So like, you look at baseball, the weight of the baseball is 145 grams. So that's 30 grams heavier than a slitter, 30 odd grams, you could say. And the average distance of a home run is 125 meters. So the weight of the ball has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's all about the rims. So when you look at the rim thickness, let's say, in the GAA terms, it's supposed to be between 2.2 and 2.4 mil. But I can tell you, 9/10 of balls that are dished out nowadays are aimed at sails. And so the rims are really, really low. They're less than a mil. You nearly rub your finger over them and you nearly feel nothing. You know what I mean? So it's all about the rims, the aerodynamics. And hurlers love low rims for three things. One, obviously the ball travels far. Two is because they can get their touch perfect. The ball won't bounce off anyway. You know, the ski will often say. The last one is when they strike the ball, it keeps the true line. So it's dead straight and doesn't veer off. So I don't think the slitter has anything got to, the weight of it has nothing to do with it. It's all got to do with the aerodynamics of the rims. And I do think the rims need to be increased a small bit. They don't need to go to massive levels where you're hitting 3 or 4 mil and they're taking the hand off you when you're catching them. They just need to be increased a bit. And in the distance, the ball won't travel as far. Because it has got to a stage now whereby, you know, free takers going back to their own 30-yard line. You know, like if you're a forward and you give away free in your own 30-yard line, I think, Jesus, the goalie's going to come out here and pop this, you know. So it's like, something will be done. I do think something will be done in the near future. I think the rims are going to have to be increased. I think Croke Park will come back in and pick 4 or 5 slitter manufacturers and get them to increase the rims and say, and I suppose half the problem will be sorted thereafter.
There we go. That's James Skell with the lads on OTB AM this morning. Full interview available in all the usual places. You can download our app and get it there, OTB Sports, in your app store. We have Eddie Brennan still with us talking about the various issues in hurling at the moment. So, pretty interesting there from James Skell. The weight is bar a single gram. It's exactly the same weight as the ball, the slitter you were using 16 years ago. It's about the rims.
Yeah, I it's gas. I actually, when I heard the guys telling me earlier on about this, you know, James' interview this morning, the weekend, I went digging into the drawer and pulled out a few old slitters just for comparison. And yeah, the rims is significant. And again, I don't know, look, if we'll pick it up on the camera there, but yeah, what I have is just, again, just two slitters. And you can see distinctly the rims are that bit, you know, they are, I suppose, a slight bit bigger. Now, it's hard to probably comprehend even there, but
No. I could see them there. For anyone on the radio, there's a huge difference there.
Yeah, no, and even look, again, two O'Neill slitters, I suppose, just for clarity, the difference in them, you know, you're looking at a significantly, and again, once it wears a little bit and gets a little bit heavier. So the point I think James is making is the slitter nowadays, they're filed right down. I mean, any of the rims are, they're filed well down, so it's very smooth. So what that means, you're guaranteed a sweeter strike no matter where you connect on the ball. Whereas if you connect on one or two of those big, you know, the higher rims, it results in maybe a miss hit where it's not going to travel as far. You mightn't catch the sweet spot. And that's why you often seen free takers, I think Henry and the guys were so particular with where they placed it with a view to catching it on the sweet spot. So that is probably an issue in itself. And again, I don't know where I am on the issue because, yeah, it is a big worry that you're saying, well, the norm now, anywhere from between your own 45, like lads are able to drive the ball 100 yards now, no problem. That was like a phenomenon back, you know, 15 years ago. So what you have now is it's become the norm now that, you know, your TJs, your Patrick Horgans, Ender Rowland, these boys are well, Joe Canning, they're well able to lock the ball over from around that distance. And I suppose it's possibly going to mean that, like James said there, your forwards are going to get penalised heavy for giving away a free around that middle third. So that maybe, is that going to lead to less goal mouth drama where, you know, the last ball drops in? And again, even the point I'd make on it is, I go back to the 2018 All-Ireland final. Joe Canning had a free just inside his own 65-yard line. So he's out, you know, it's just deep in that territory out in the sideline. It was a long way out. And his technique over the ball is that he stepped into that rather than, which he normally does, is stand over it. Now, you're bearing in mind it's the end of an All-Ireland final. He's deeply fatigued and all those things. Mm. And I just think, for me, if that happened now, you know, and that's only 2 or 3 years ago, I think Joe would trust his technique there and he'd sail that ball over, no problem at all. So the issue is, look, there's a lot of things. Players are supremely fit now. Hurls, everything. There's all sorts of work on that they're technically striking the ball right. So I don't think it's maybe the big drama that we maybe think it is, but certainly I'm not sure what way I'm fixed on, right, you know, pints from your own 45 yet. I'm a little bit undecided on it. It's a great skill to see a lad do that, but when it's becoming the norm, you're kind of going, okay, where does this go? Does this mean that we're going to see very little goal mouth action now? We're going to see that ball dropped in around the house and a big scrum to try get a goal or something like that, you know? I don't know.
I know it's also like just the weight of, not weight of the slitter as in W-A-I-T, the weight for a corner forward to trot all the way back, yeah, into the opposition half and all this kind of business, like that becomes very stop-starty. I mean, there's still great, like, you love a long point from play, like there's such, yeah, drama there, but I mean, as brilliant as TJ Reid is, I don't know if anyone's quite going to just watch him take 30 frees.
No, well, you look at even, you know, Jason Ford hit a great free at the end of the Cork match to square, yes, that match up. And
that was great, like, drama. But if that's in the 15th minute, I don't know if I'm waiting, yeah, for Jason to run all the way back.
Yeah, well, I think that's, it may be, look, it ties into maybe the other side of it too, is if teams are kind of, you know, if you're willing to foul, then you're going to see the likes of TJ and Co, you know, just, even Ronan Marder. Ronan Marder can just stroke a ball over bar from nearly 100 yards. Mm. So, you know, if that's working scores and lads are doing that from play, I think perhaps we can maybe put a little bit of acceptance on that, but we won't be lauding it as a magnificent feat that it once was. Like, you go, oh, Jesus, someone's after popping over an absolute monster, whereas now it just becomes the norm. And like you said there, Joe, I think people would not like to see a Patrick Horgan v TJ Reid or a Joe Canning v TJ Reid or whoever, no, it is, Jason Ford in an absolute shootout. We can organise exhibitions of that stuff if we want.
Yeah, I would presume as well, and you'd have a feel for this having played and still obviously been very much in touch with the game. James Scale there is talking about the rims, the smaller rims allowing the ball to go further, to travel on a truer line. But also he said the touch is much better. Your touch is much easier. You're not going to have a dodgy touch where it hits off the big rim.
Yeah.
So that must really be having an effect on how the likes of a Limerick are playing this short passing game now. You know, I mean, the variables aren't as big with the smaller rims. So, you know, the touch is better. It's breaking down less. I mean, that's having an effect on how players are, or how teams rather, are playing the sport.
Yeah, I think that's where the game has evolved to that. The ball was flying around, you know, when I was hurling that it was down to maybe your critical thinking under pressure, and your instinctive thinking was what it really focused on. And again, when we were working on your touch, you were very mindful of, definitely in a positional sense, if you're inside, you might get 4 or 5, so you couldn't afford a dirty touch. And it was something that was the core of Tipperary's thinking in 2010. They said the quality of touch had to be there. So I suppose that's the element there, is that you're saying, well, if you have a nicely rounded, perfect slitter, and look, there's nothing wrong with things evolving. It's like a modern car, but I think it does lead itself to that short passing game where guys are working so much under touch and those passes over shorter periods that the coaching element is more on our style of play, yeah, rather than an individual's instinctive thinking and their instincts.
Yeah. Listen, it's all very interesting and we don't have time to get into it, but James Scale was saying as well, the boss of the hurl now is out of control. He's saying with lads in his club team, he's comparing his hurl to them and they've got a bigger, you know, wider boss than he has, and he's the goalkeeper. He was saying, like, there's lads out there having pot shots with frying pans, and so the margin, yeah, forever further decreases. So between the slitter, between the free count and maybe lads buying frees, between the art of defending, you know, it can sound over the last couple of weeks like hurling's in not a great state. I mean, just a couple of months ago, we all watched Kilkenny Waterford in the All-Ireland semi-final. It was an absolute classic. So yeah, I'm still hopeful when it all settles down, we'll have a good summer.
I think the boss is there. I think we can blame Dalo for that. I remember seeing Dalo playing in 97 and we thought it was a goalie's hurl. That was why he was hitting those frees so long. But no, I still think, look, it'll settle itself out. I think sometimes, I suppose we're coming at a very unnatural 15 or 16 months and we're not getting a flow and the prep, I suppose, the National League in its place, and then a nice gap into Championship. I suppose it's just different, and maybe the issues are coming to a head a little bit more. And I suppose we're all mad to throw our tuppence worth in because we have such a narrow window. But hopefully, look, like yourself, Joe, I'd be very optimistic. We're still going to get a good Championship because there's obviously a different element now with the such a cutthroat element. You don't get to play four matches where you can recover in two. Mm. You just have to get it all right on the day, and that brings its own appeal as well.
Eddie Brennan, always great getting your thoughts. Thanks, Eddie.
No problem, Joe. Anytime.
GAA on Off the Ball.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.